Well, Merry Christmas to you again. I want to, I know you've heard that several times. You've heard Merry Christmas probably tonight. You've probably heard it in the malls. You've probably heard it everywhere. But I want to be just another person that says to you, Merry Christmas. You can't ever hear that enough. In fact, I'm so glad if you just came in just a little bit ago, I'm so glad that you chose to be here with us here at the Fountain on this Christmas. And I know, like I said, there's going to be a lot of tossing and turning probably from your kids tonight and all sorts of things. But I want to center us today on the reality that God is with us. That's my mission tonight. That's what I want to help us to understand in a big way. You know, one of my family's traditions when I was growing up, when I was a little boy, I'm the oldest of five kids. And one of our traditions was lining up at the top of the stairs and kind of from youngest to oldest, I was always in the back, man. And lining up at the top of the stairs, my dad would get the camcorder at the bottom and it was Christmas morning, right? And so he would say, okay, ready, go. And we would sprint as fast as we could, trying to not do barrel rolls, trying to not knock all my younger siblings out of the way. It was a free-for-all to get downstairs and to see our Christmas presents. And I love that kind of excitement that we all kind of have at Christmas. And I think it's very rightly so that we have that. Because I think more importantly that Christmas is not just a story that happened a long time ago in a land far, far away. But it's a story where that's implications really in affect and impact our life even today. And so tonight what I want to do is kind of take you through a quick snapshot of the Christmas story. There's actually three times. It happens a little bit before Christmas. There's four times an angel comes. We're going to look at three times that an angel comes to the people during the Christmas story with this powerful yet simple message from God. And every single time the angel comes to the people at Christmas, it starts with this interesting invitation. The invitation is this: fear not, fear not, fear not. In fact, some translations, the one that we're going to read actually says, do not be afraid. Why is that in the Christmas story? And so here's what I wanted to do just to kind of get us warmed up. Turn to somebody around you and say to them, fear not, it's Christmas. There you go. So you guys are experiencing the Christmas story already. You know, the thing about it is, what I want to do is I want to show you why the angel's message was such, of fear not, was such important news, what such good news for you and for me and for the people at that first Christmas. You know, fear not is a strange way to announce the birth of a baby, isn't it? My wife, Mandy, and I, we welcomed our new baby girl in November. And one of the things you do, we haven't done yet, is send out a birth announcement to basically say, hey, the baby's been born. Facebook is kind of like that now. But to send out a birth announcement is kind of official and all that stuff. But what's funny is when you usually mail one of those out, you usually get those in the mail. You don't usually get someone's child's birth announcement with a picture of the child that says, fear not. Doesn't make any sense. And so what is going on here? What's this all about? You know, these people who the angel came to on the first Christmas, it was interesting. They were living relatively normal lives like us. They had these, they were doing their ordinary things. They were following their seemingly average dreams when suddenly God showed up with the angel's message out of nowhere in their life. He showed out of nowhere and invited them to something greater. And so the first one, that the first person that we're going to talk about that the angel came to on Christmas or in the Christmas story is Mary. You may remember Mary, the mother of Jesus. We're going to read about her. Here's what the angel says to her. Luke chapter 1, verse 28 through 33. Here's what it says. The angel went to her and said, greetings, you who are highly favored. This is a polite angel. It says, the Lord is with you. You want to remember that. The Lord is with you. Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, fear not. Or as this translation says, do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High God. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end. So talk about an invitation. Her life is kind of going about the way that she expected, and all of a sudden God comes out of nowhere in her life and invites Mary to do something that nobody could handle, to give birth to the Son of God. Can you imagine? Can you imagine what that was like when they told her she got to take him home from the hospital? Like, are you serious? How do I raise the Son of God? And so Here Mary is, she's planning her wedding. Many of you have done that before, and you know how crazy it gets. She is planning her wedding, and she's engaged to be married to Joseph. And if this was modern day, she'd be on Pinterest, pinning all the little things to make her, all the creative ideas to make her wedding the most memorable that it can be. And maybe she was signing her name, Mary, with her fiance's last name to see what it would look someday when they're married, and all sorts of things. And she was expecting this pinnacle moment in her life, but then God came out of nowhere and invited her to something greater. Can you imagine? You know, you can understand why Mary was greatly troubled, as it says, and why the angel had to tell her, Mary, fear not. Her mouth was probably gapped open, you know, when the angel said this to her. Fear not, because she was chosen to do something that she couldn't do on her own. Have you ever been there before? Have you ever been in a place when God is inviting you somewhere where you haven't been? Or asking you to do something that you feel so incapable to do? And the message from God is fear not. And so if it was up to Mary, Mary knew this, that if it was up to her, there's no way she could do that. There's no way that she could do what God was calling her to do. And she was probably also afraid, what are people going to think about me? I mean, we have children in here and stuff like that, but you can imagine what people were saying about Mary during this time, under these kind of circumstances. You know, she probably thought, well, Lord, I don't know. I mean, I'm wedding planning, and this is a busy time, and this is a season that I've been looking forward to my whole life, and yet, what if I can't do what you're calling me to do? And what if I mess up your whole plan of salvation for the entire world? Lord, I don't know if I can do something like this. But Christmas, the good news of Christmas is that it didn't depend on her ability. It didn't depend on her ability to manage what God was calling her to do. The message of Christmas is that God was with her in the middle of what God was calling her to do. And I want you to know the same thing is true for you and for me today. The message from the angel was essentially this: Mary, don't be afraid. You are not alone. The Lord is with you. And when the Lord is with you, you have nothing to fear, because nothing is too big for God. And I want you to know that reality this Christmas for your life. No matter what you face, no matter where God is calling you to go, no matter the big things that might be in front of you, nothing is too big for God. And so the second person the angel came to on Christmas was Joseph. Now first, there was a little conversation that happened after Mary got the news. And you can imagine Joseph, you know, I don't know, this is just my experience. Mandy did a lot of our wedding planning, and I kind of said, yes, dear, yes, dear, yes, dear. It was probably like that for Joseph. You know, he's probably coasting along, going to the cake testing, stuff like that, excited about marrying the girl of his dreams. And all of a sudden, God comes out of nowhere with a message from an angel that was given to Mary. And you can imagine this conversation that they had. You can imagine what maybe Mary said to Joseph. Joseph, there's been a change of plans. You know, and his heart probably sank, and he was probably terrified. Have you ever been there before? Maybe in a time in your life where you thought your life was going in one direction, or you thought that this door was the open door you were looking for, or you thought that this was the thing that was supposed to happen, this is what you've been waiting for, and all of a sudden life takes a V-line in the other direction, and all of a sudden you find out there's been a change of plans. You know, you can imagine how Joseph felt about this, confused. He probably felt really betrayed by Mary. And he probably thought, well, Mary, how long did it take you to come up with something like that? From the Holy Spirit? Seriously? You know, he's probably thinking all these things. And he planned, the scripture tells us that Joseph planned to divorce her quietly because the plans changed. And so here's what happens when the angel comes to Joseph with this message. It's in Matthew chapter 1, starting with verse 20. And it says this: But after he had considered this, that's Joseph, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, fear not. In other words, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. And he's about to quote the prophet Isaiah. And this is how cool God works. That something that God had promised years and years and years and years ago and said, this is going to happen someday, is about to be fulfilled in their lifetime through Jesus. And here's what it said. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel. Which means, say it with me, God with us. God with us. God with us. That's what this is all about. That's what the Christmas story is all about. Joseph had all these fears. You can imagine this gap of uncertainty in his life, this question mark of what do I do now with my life? He probably thought, God, can I really trust you now? God, how can I know that you're good in this season right now? Maybe you've been there before. Maybe you're in a season like that now. But Joseph is wrestling with these things. And after the message from the angel comes, the message is very, very similar to Mary's. It's, Joseph, fear not. You're not alone. In fact, this baby who's coming is going to be your Emmanuel. He will be God with you. You know, I don't know about you, but there's times when I feel that it's easy to feel God's presence. And there's times in my life where it's hard to feel God's presence. Y'all wrestle with that too? You know, I found that it's easy to feel God's presence when we're all surrounded by people and we're singing joy to the world. The Lord has come, led by a worship band that looks like they could be on American Idol, and you feel the presence of God, right? Or maybe it's in a season where you're praying about something and and God comes through, and you say, "Well, God is so faithful," and you feel God's presence. But what about those seasons in our life? What about the times when plans change? What about those times when disappointment comes? Or there's this question mark about our future and it seems like God is nowhere in our life and that we're alone. Where is God in all that? You know, the promise of Christmas is that God is not just with you on the mountaintop, but God is also with you in your lowest valleys. God is with you. That's the promise of Christmas. Not just in the story, but it's a promise for you and me. It's not a promise that trouble is going to disappear, but it's the promise that the presence of Jesus is with you in the middle of all of your trouble. Even when you don't feel God's presence, God's with you. You know, we took our son Peyton to the Gwinnett Braves game. How many of y'all have been to the Gwinnett Braves before? We took him to the Gwinnett Braves game, I guess this past summer. And he loves baseball. He's kind of a weird two-year-old. He is like glued to baseball and to football and all sorts of things. He gets it on us. And we were watching the game. There's ballpark food. So this two-year-old was in heaven. And he, after his like 10th nacho, and $40 at the concession stand, he was having a great time. And what was funny is this little mascot started walking on the field, this furry, friendly, smiley mascot named Chopper. And Peyton's demeanor about this game suddenly changed. It went from, "This is awesome, Dad, I love this," to, "Get me out of here." He was terrified about Chopper. And it's kind of weird. I don't know why. I mean, he likes animals, but he doesn't like people dressed up in animals. So we're going to test Disney this summer and see how that goes. But anyway, he started like getting freaked out. And he was sitting next to me and I said, "Buddy, it's okay. I'm with you. It's okay." But he wasn't having anything out of it. All he didn't look at me. All he did was checking out Chopper that was 20 rows away from him, thinking that Chopper was right on top of him, about to get him. And all he was wanting to do was jump over his seat, get out of the stadium, and get out of the way. And finally, I realized this is not working. And so I grabbed him, and I put him on my lap, and he was facing me. And I took his face, and we went face to face, eyeball to eyeball. And I said to him, "Buddy, I am with you. And when your daddy's with you, nothing is going to hurt you. In fact, when your daddy's with you, I'm not going to let anything stand between you and me." And the truth is about this Christmas story is we often have to be reminded of that reality. We often have to be reminded of that reality that no matter what we face, that our Heavenly Father is still with us. Even when we don't see God working, even in times when we don't feel God's presence, that God is still working in our life. And so we don't have to fear the uncertainty of our future because God stands with us, holding our future in our hands. He's with you. And then God comes to these people, these crazy people called the shepherds. You've probably seen them in your nativity scene. The shepherds, these were the people who always felt they were distant from God. These were the people who always felt like they didn't belong. They were unworthy. These were the lowest people in Jesus' society. And it was one of those things where they always felt like they were unworthy of God's love, unworthy of God's attention. They were kind of like banned from the temple life, from religious life, because all they did was hang out with sheep. They were dirty. And so they'd always been told their whole life that this religious stuff is for people like us, but it's not for people like you. And this God stuff is for people like us, but it's not for people like you. And so in their life, these shepherds always saw this dividing line between who God was, the holiness of God, and their unworthiness. Have you been there before? And so then the angel comes to these guys, and here's what the angel announces to them at the first Christmas, Luke chapter 2, starting with verse 8. It says this, "And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid,'" or "fear not. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Their whole life, all they thought was that here is God and we don't belong. They always worried about where they stood in their relationship with God. And so the angel comes to them with this message. And you can imagine why the angel had to say, "Fear not." Because an angelic messenger from God, they were probably like, "Oh no, he's coming for us." They didn't know where they stood. And so it was one of those things where they knew that they hadn't done anything to earn God's love. They'd probably done a lot of things to push away God's love. And they thought that their life was going nowhere. They thought that God in their life was nowhere. Nowhere, that God didn't care about them because nobody else cared about them. And then on Christmas, God came out of nowhere in their life. And he told these shepherds essentially this through the angel: "You've been looking at this whole thing wrong your entire life. That God is not nowhere and your life is not going nowhere. The reality of Christmas is that the God of all creation is now here in your life, working, wanting a relationship with you. I'm here." And that's the good news for you and for me this Christmas. That even when you feel God is distant, God has been in your life even from the beginning of your birth. He loves you and he's for you and he's got a plan for your life. He's with you. So what was it that sent the angels home rejoicing and praising God back to the fields? And what was it that sent the wise men, caused them to bow down and worship him? It was this reality. It was the reality that God is not distant or uninvolved. God isn't just watching over us from a distance from a throne in heaven, but God is actually with us, directing us and protecting us and guiding our path. When I was in high school, I was in a couple plays, and was in an opera or two in college, and I had to wear stage makeup, so hopefully those pictures don't ever, like, come out. But I got to learn a little bit about the kind of the dramatic world. And one of the things about this, if you go see a show on Broadway, is you know that you usually have the people who play the main roles. These are the people you, like, pay the big money to go see. You want to go see these people. But if that person ever gets sick, or they can't perform in the show, then all of a sudden there's this person called an understudy. Have you all heard understudy before? An understudy is a person who steps in their place, who is kind of trained up for the role, who kind of does the show on their behalf. And understudies are good. They know all the lines. They know all the, they know where to stand. They can sing a little bit. But the reality is they're not the ones who were cast for the main roles. They're not the ones you pay the money to go see. Well, the good news of Christmas is this. I want you to know that when God wanted to save the world, he didn't send an understudy. When God wanted to save the world, he didn't send the B team or some cheap replacement as an ambassador to do the dirty work for him. God on Christmas stepped out of heaven and into our broken world that was full of so many fears. And God said to us, "I am now with you, here to save you." And so that's the message of Christmas. That God always has been with you. That God is with you right now. And God will always be with you. And he came to give you peace. Peace that maybe not everything is right in the world. And maybe not in our spheres of influence. But a peace that we can know. That things can be right between us and God. Not because of what we've done. But because of what Jesus has done on our behalf. So I want to wish you again, Merry Christmas. Fear not. Because God is with you. Let me pray for us. God, we thank you so much. We thank you for that reality in our lives. And God, I pray that maybe for some of us, we've been doubting that for a while. Maybe for some of us, we don't know that reality. Maybe for some of us, we've forgotten the fact that you're with us. And God, I just thank you that no matter what we face, or no matter where we are, or no matter what we've done, that you are with us, that you're for us. And the reality of this is, God, we know that if anyone decides to put their faith in you, that they're a new creation, that they get to come into the presence of the Lord and to be right with you forever. And so, God, maybe today there's somebody in here. Maybe there's somebody in here who has heard this message that you're with them. And God, they need to know that, and they want to have you in their life. And God, I pray if those people are in here, God, I pray that maybe they would be able to take that step. They have the faith to know that you're good, that you love them. You got a plan for their life. And God, I pray that you would help them to take that step of faith, maybe to put their faith in you for the first time. And if that's you in here tonight, maybe you would pray something like this. You can pray it out loud, or you can pray it in your heart, and God will hear your prayer. But maybe you'd pray something like this. God, I want to thank you that you're with me. And I don't know why, I don't know how, but I want to thank you that you're with me. And God, I came in here this morning not really knowing that reality. Coming to a church, wanting to hear some music and get out of here and get back to Christmas. But God, today I want to say, I want to have that in my life. And God, today I want to put my faith in you. I want to fully trust you with my life, with everything that I know how. And God, I want to accept the grace that you've given me. Not based on anything that I've done, but based on what you've done for me. I want to put my faith in you. God, I thank you that you cleanse us of our sins, that you came to die on the cross and rise from the dead so that we can have eternal life. And God, for all of us in here, I pray that we would know that reality in our lives. And we ask this in Jesus' name, amen.